Egg, suck your fucking dick.
It's Katy Perry, the lion song, but...
Check.
I am a lion, and you're going to make me come.
Check.
And
you're going to make me
come.
Yeah. All right.
Suck my little fucking dick.
Well, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to address the Real Ass Podcast. I didn't want to go on the Real Ass Podcast. I don't give a shit. Tom is inherently funny to me.
Wait a minute. What about the show that Lewis pitched with me, you, and Lewis called Bastard Radio?
We've made fun of that.
That's like, hold on. To Sirius XM.
Yeah, yeah.
Bastard Radio.
Have you lost all interest?
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, and first of all, Lewis making fun of a guy like Tom is just, it's just, you know, it's so funny. Yeah. If Lewis was white, people would assume he had the same mental deficiencies that Tom has.
That's right, yeah.
They give him a break because he's Puerto Rican. They're like, oh.
Yeah, well, he's affable.
That explains...
He's a little more with it than Tom.
Yeah, I'll tell you that much. Obviously.
Tom's a character.
Yes, we've got Tim Dillon here. Yeah.
Tim's here.
And the way it worked out is we happened to get him right after. We wanted to get him on because he's in Boston this weekend, so plug those days.
Oh, yeah, Laugh Boston, Friday and Saturday. Come on out to that.
If you're in Boston, go see Tom.
If you're white, don't be stupid. I'm not responsible for anything that happens. If you come out with your, Ocasio-Cortez shirt.
No way.
And so I'm kidding. Boston's very liberal.
Yes.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. The shows will be fun. Thank you.
But the way it worked out time-wise, we caught him fresh off a Real Ass Podcast appearance with the one, the only Tom Mullins.
Well, he came over and I didn't want to. Fuck. I didn't really want to discuss the Tom shit, but... there's just too much to talk about. and I've been dragging my feet hosting this show lately. Mm-hmm. I apologize for that. I've been suffering from a little bit of acid reflux. I didn't want to go public with it. But,
yeah, you're brave, though.
I know.
We're going to fight this thing.
This
Nick.
Way, little kids that have acid reflux, they hear you say the N-word, and they're like, I can do that one.
My uncle just got cancer. Esophageal cancer.
Oh shit!
And it's there's just no chance. So like they're like,
oh
yeah.
What are the symptoms of the acid reflux and also esophageal cancer?
The symptoms of esophageal cancer, I guess, are like thinking you have the flu for 6 months and ignoring the tennis ball sized lymph nodes on the side of your head.
Yeah,
that might be a little something.
Those are constantly
having like 12 beers.
Right. Yeah, having like 35 beers to quell your stomach pain. But no, he just had, I guess, like I'm like genetically predisposed to a little bit of acid reflux. It's just, it just feels like a cold burning sensation in my chest.
Interesting.
It goes up to, like my throat. And it's like there's a hard lump in there. And then when it gets worse, sometimes I'll like burp and you can feel like the... just stomach acid like splash up into the back of your throat.
Well, sure. I've had that. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and you feel like you're throwing up?
Uh-huh.
But it's, I think everything I say, Stav goes, yes, 100%. Two, three words in. He's like,
I know exactly
what
you're talking
about. But it's like you wake up and you got this, and something's in your throat. It's like you cough up this stomach acid or whatever it is, and then you just swallow it.
Well, here's what it is.
Yeah.
We have filled our stomachs so to the brim.
Really?
That there is shit coming. It's literally a space issue, I believe.
Wow.
Where it's like there's fucking cheeseburger debris all the way up into your throat.
Christ.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really what it is. When you're this fat and you don't usually get heartburn and that kind of shit.
Yeah, I don't.
It's because you've overstuffed yourself to the point that there is nowhere.
That sounds right. I don't know
if
that is right.
Scientifically, it's correct. Now, here's why I know.
Yeah.
Because if I take a real fat shit before I fall asleep. Not a problem.
Yeah, sometimes I know when I go to sleep and I haven't shit.
I
know there's a huge problem.
You're backing
coming.
That shit up.
No, it's
literally
a,
shit coming out of your mouth if you really.
No,
because
then sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm just like something's wrong and I don't know what it is.
I'm sweating.
I'm sweating.
Cold sweating.
Yeah, and I don't know if I should go to a hospital.
Yes. And then you shit and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and then you shit and then you're okay.
I've never had to wake up to shit ever.
Are you kidding?
Never once in my life.
Oh, I've woke. There was a period of my life.
Piss.
Where it's an emergency.
Every piss. Yeah. Piss every night.
Yeah. Six times a night.
Mm-hmm.
No, there was a period of my life which, comes in and out where I wouldn't even have to set an alarm. it would be, I would just wake up shitting and needing to shit in a cold sweat.
Yeah.
The first thing I remember is my asshole clench. I'm waking up from the power of my asshole clenching.
Yeah.
The turd that's trying to escape. And then
and then
run
if you
out.
Go to sit down to shit and you can't shit, you go, I have a whole world of hell.
That's right. That's you have to give birth to a turd.
And then there's something there's something weird about it being like 2 a.m.
Yes, dude.
And it not being sick. Like if you sit down at 6:30 on the toilet, you're like, all right, other people are awake.
Right.
I wish I feel like I'm not contributing, but I have no understanding of what you're talking
about.
It's like you're describing something outside of the visible spectrum of light.
Yes, exactly.
You're both effusively talking about a color.
It's a feeling that you can't. Yeah.
It's
a feeling.
Emotion you'll never know.
Is there a German word for this type of shit? Yeah.
People know it. People have felt it.
Oh, Scheißegestalt.
It's fear.
It's only something that, you know, it's a turd.
It's an uneasiness.
There's fear, but there's also a strange satisfaction and relief.
Yes.
It is part of the purging cycle. This is our specific kind of eating disorder.
Have you ever seen a spider?
We don't purge from our mouths, it comes out of our asses.
Have you ever seen a spider molt and it just sheds its skin and it becomes another spider?
Yeah.
That's kind of what Stavros and me do.
I feel like
that's what it is.
Man, after that shit comes out of my ass.
You shit out a person.
Have you ever weighed yourself before?
This is insane to me. I don't know.
Have you ever weighed yourself before shit
cucks.
And then after the shit?
What?
Have you ever weighed yourself before shit?
I've never weighed myself before or after a shit or any time. I've never gotten on a scale and was like, well, what is it? What's the number today?
I don't need to know.
Yeah, no. I don't really want to know. I go by like how the clothes fit and how the airplane seat feels.
Sure. Yeah, right. If I need to ask for the extender.
Yeah, if the people in the row complain to the flight attendant in front of me.
How heavy the side is when they see me walking to that middle seat. That's I know.
Literally now will do like they take a deep breath and they go, like they're preparing themselves for war, like it's Game of Thrones.
My sister
when I sit
said
down.
She sat next to a guy that got two seats just out of respect for everyone else on the train.
Honestly,
plane.
I want to live that lifestyle.
That's a baller.
I want to get a row.
Yeah, you're in a row. That'd be amazing.
It's just there's like a couple like in a row, and that guy comes by and he's bought both tickets, but he waited for a seat assignment, and he's like, "Excuse me, so can you move so I can be fat as shit?" Would you mind moving so I can be just irresponsibly? Yeah, just I just want to be here with myself. Yeah. I'm traveling with my hundreds of pounds of excess body.
I actually own this part of the plane, so if you could move,
that seat is for my thigh and nuts.
Yeah,
if you could move, my thigh and left nut are sitting there actually.
Yeah.
But everyone's gotten so fat now that I'm less embarrassed.
Everyone,
a lot of them, Nick. A lot of them are fat.
Yes.
And on a beach, I don't feel bad on a beach anymore.
No.
Wow. Unless it's like Miami.
I've never felt bad. You know,
fun move is to be like a fat wigger, and you get on a plane and you find like the only person that's fatter. And you'd be like, "Damn, man, peep how big this bitch is. This motherfucker big as shit. Damn, you fat as hell, son."
Just roasting him the whole plane.
Right. You have to sit right
just shitting on him.
You're all so fat.
Bing, bing. People keep calling the flight. Yeah. Sir, please be quiet.
No, settle I'm just in. Saying he's fat. My man fat as shit.
Sir, please, your Cookie Monster fitted. The bill is backwards and hitting the person
behind
you in
the eyes. Yeah, I went to Kmart and I got starred up, man. I starred up my looks.
This reminds me of a kid that I grew up with named Chico. White kid named Chico. Okay. He's dead now.
Respect.
And, you know, but...
Did he get to, he picked Chico. That name or what?
I don't know. That's the thing. The if Mexican his parents gave it to him, it was kind of like basically writing his ticket.
Yeah.
You know, like they're like, well, this is... He's probably going to sell Coke and then die at 24. Correct. But I think he might have picked it. I don't know. Nice guy, but you know, that's exactly
Stanley.
How he sounded.
Yeah.
He would just rip on people. He was in summer school every year, which he looked forward to.
Yeah.
He would like come up to you at the end of school. He'd be like, "Yo, bro, you going?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm probably going." He's like, I'll see you there.
Such a horrible home.
And then he would just, it was bad.
It's like summer camp.
Yeah.
And then he's like,
yeah.
Go to summer school.
He liked it, dude. It was like his, he loved it. He's dead.
He was getting molested.
I mean, summer school is a better system.
It's so much fun.
It's 3 weeks and then you've accomplished a year of what they got you like in that class.
My summer school teacher, Miss Ruisi, brought her baby in to teach us. That because I went to Catholic high school. school, but the school I would have gone to, my public school, was like a hood school. It was like, you know, so Miss Ruiz, she was like an Italian woman, and she had a mixed race baby, which is lovely, which I think is great.
Speaking of which, I just watched Green Book the other night.
How was it? Did you enjoy it?
No. No, I turned it off.
Yeah, I've never seen
it. I don't understand how things like that are just like glowing reviews across the board.
Well, people are insane.
They're insane.
I think people were saying that it was bad. Like, cool people were saying it's bad.
Oh, well, good. Cool guys, as long as the cool guys are
on Pitchfork.
No, it's just scene after scene where it's like somebody's racist to the black guy, but the Italian guy isn't.
Right. Like the movie reviewer from Cats,
yeah, they're like, listen, I don't mean to bother you, but he's not allowed to eat in here. You know, what's the matter? Why can't you just make a rule for him? Like, sorry, we got to leave. And then, like, the next scene is, like, he's not allowed to try on the clothes. And I'm like, geez, what the heck? What's going on with these freaking
people? So it's about
people?
An Italian learning
and then
about
the next, racism. And the next scene is, like, he's not allowed to eat dinner here. And they're like, what the hell is the matter with that? Like, they pull the dinner one, like, twice.
That's hilarious.
It's like, there's only so many ways people in the South can be racist.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure, you know, it's a true story about the guy that played fucking Carmine on The Sopranos.
Wait a minute. Who, what?
Green Book is a biographical picture. The guy who played Carmine on The Sopranos, that was his actual life.
What? Yeah. Well, he was just defending black people?
No, he was a driver. Carmine. He was a driver and a bodyguard for, I don't know, some fucking fucking mooley.
Fuck him.
Some Fanuc mooley. The guy. But his son wrote the screenplay. And
with one of the Farrelly brothers.
Yeah, and so, but because this, like...
Oh, you can tell because Viggo Mortensen gets his nuts stuck in his zipper at one point.
Yeah, he has a cum hanging down from his ear the whole movie.
Yeah, but I mean, because the son wrote it, it just comes off like, you know, any Italian I've ever met being like, my dad was one of the best guys in the neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad was the first guy to not be racist. He actually was Italians that came up with that and was my pops that did it. But he was also in the mafia.
Yeah. You know,
and that's the entire movie.
Well, the son who wrote the screenplay, also they found a tweet of his like from like 2015 where he was like, Mr. Trump, I was there in New Jersey. I saw the Muslims celebrating after the towers were falling down.
Yeah.
He's like, I just
Well, that's Green Book 2. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the second film is about his father defending Muslims in Jersey.
If it was an actual...
I don't agree with what they do, but they got the First Amendment right to celebrate when they's knocking
it
down
on
towers.
A true story about Italians in the 60s, it would be called, I ain't reading that fucking book.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It would be called, Stay With Your Own. Yeah. It's the real Green Book. Yeah, they're a progressive people.
Also, yeah, exactly. There's no way to fuck anyway. But also the jazz, the pianist or whoever the fuck the black guy is based on, his family was like, do not make this movie.
Oh,
like,
really?
His family were like, we hate this movie. The book, it's all bullshit. Uh-huh.
It's not
like,
adapted from a book.
Oh, whatever. Like, I guess whatever story they're telling, I just saw them being like, no, this is absolutely
untrue. This didn't happen.
And it won Best Picture, right?
Yeah.
What was it up against?
Black
a
Panther.
Picture of a turd.
Oh, it was up against Black Panther.
Well, they gave Black Panther a nomination.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason.
There should be a crossover, and they should have a guy in Black Panther. It's like, geez, why? What the fuck's the problem with Wakanda? Why the fuck is... I think it's... You know, I mean, it's not as good as Italy. You know I mean? It's not as good as...
It's not as good as Italy, which
I've
never
good
been,
as
been to.
South Bronx. Yeah. I've been in the same neighborhood my whole life. I love saying words.
The best thing is hearing like a cop or a white guy try not to be racist. Because I had an uncle Eddie, who was a cop for like 30 years in the South Bronx, and just,
all of those guys are Mark Furman on the stage.
Yeah, they're all and they're all just. He goes like one time he's like, listen, they got families like us, you know. Like they'll just say the most obvious things. They'll be like, they got families like us, those people. You know, they have kids. They have babies that come out of their pussy, their vagina. They have a bit and that baby comes out. Like, just like we do. It's like, oh, okay, Uncle Eddie.
I saw one time, I swear to God, I saw one drinking water.
Yeah. They drink water like we do. They just want their kids to have water. And, you know, so that's what we're out there, just helping. Trying to help them.
Yeah. One time my dad... this is not about black people, it's about gay people. when
he was like finally
he was this was his idea of being progressive after years of browbeating him into being like, don't be homophobic. Mm-hmm. He was like,
he would drive around and throw disco balls on their lawn.
Yeah, I was just about to say. Fuck it. Yeah. I got presents for you. Yeah. You're like, why don't we have money for the mortgage? You spend hundreds of dollars on disco balls.
For hate crimes.
For hate crime.
He was like, okay, fine. They can get married. But do they have to have kids? That was his.
Right. Well, they can't technically.
Yeah. He was like, don't. That was my dad's middle ground. Was like, let them get married.
Don't let them
adopt children.
Okay.
That's him. I don't know.
I mean, it's like they should be able to adopt kids, but I don't think that's like wildly in the mind of a bigot. I mean, if you think that there's something wrong with being gay, and you're willing, you think it's like a pervasive like mental disorder,
right?
And
which it is. I think we can all agree.
Well, you think that, and you're like, look, but you know what? It's fucking none of my business. Let these people do what they want.
You should be like, they should be able to adopt kids and have sex with them. Yeah,
that's progressive.
You should go back to your father and be like, we need to have another talk. Yeah. You old Greek bastard.
Yeah,
they should
be able to adopt kids and make out with those kids.
In his mind, he thinks that's happening. That right. They're like, you have to suck dick, preferably. Mom. Yeah.
Right.
And he's saying and I just think that's a little too far.
You think it's a little too far?
I just think that's too far. I understand that I've been wrong in the past.
You should see how
I'm
far
to hear it out.
See how far over the line you could drag. I'm like, maybe he'll be like, can't they just jerk off to pictures of kids? Maybe that should be legal. Can't they just look at children having sex with other children?
No penetrative sex.
Yeah.
They can get sucked off by their sons, but that's it.
But that's it, Stav. No, yeah. Stavros, that is it.
Yeah, I do love that shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's rough out there for the gays.
It's real hard for the homosexuals.
It's very hard every day.
Well, that rat from Arthur, the gay ass teacher, he's apparently gay now.
Well, that helps. It helps when
it's big. It's
visibility.
I remember you called me. You were crying.
I was crying. I thought
the storyline,
because I had jerked off to that rat for years, but the idea that he would never reciprocate because I love bestiality. I'm really not even gay. I just like fucking animals.
It should have been that Binky turned into you in adulthood.
Right. Binky became to dog. No, I like seeing animals come out of the closet because it brings us one step closer to where it's okay to fuck animals.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's really where this all goes. And thank Christ. Yeah. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That little gay ass rodent with a mustache.
No, Emma Wilma does that joke.
I had no idea that Arthur
my first
was
crush
still
was Nyla from The Lion King.
Nala.
Nyla. What did I say?
I think a lot of people had that crush.
Yeah, well, that's
Nyla was the trans lion. Yeah. Would hang out with Scar. Nyla.
Yeah, it's one of the hyenas with lipstick on.
Right.
That ain't your rock. You ain't get to sit on that rock all day. Fuck you. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to stand wherever the fuck I want.
Just, it's an aggressive transsexual line.
Okay, Nyla. Yeah. Back to my chambers, please.
What's the song? Be Prepared.
Yeah.
Take Prep. Is that what that song is?
Yeah.
You just take a little pill, and then you don't need to use protection. Be prepared. Right?
I don't remember Be Prepared.
That was the big
people love
Star's
that prep
song.
No, they love that prep.
Be Prepared.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
People take it a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm. Does it? Wasn't there something in the news where like you? Some
they
guy,
said
couple
there
guys
were
got AIDS.
There were like 5 cases of people contracting HIV that were on PrEP.
Yeah, I mean, PrEP is probably just a placebo that they're just
giving
to sex crazed gay guys who have no idea what it is. They're like, oh, it has an M, like an M&M. It's like it's $300 a month,
right,
and you're not going to get AIDS. You're like, well, can someone shit blood in my mouth? They're like, yes, sure. Yeah, you can use intravenously now. You can share needles.
Right, yeah, the clinical trials for that was they gave it to a bunch of chimps, and then the professors had sex with the chimps.
Right.
And then 6 months later, they're like, well, I don't have AIDS. I guess it works.
Yeah. PrEP.
Yeah.
I mean, love the name of it, too. It's like prepare, PrEP.
Uh-huh.
Just PrEP. Just prep.
Like you're about to take the SATs.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just prep.
instead of sharing needles.
Yeah. It's like you sit down with your son. You're like, now you hand him a pill. You're like, now success is when preparation meets opportunity. So now you go prep.
But take this pill. Douche out your asshole. You never know when you're going to get married. Fucked.
But at least make their kids take prep before they adopt them.
Just in case.
So the kids don't get it.
I mean, if you're going to come in someone's mouth, especially a kid who might have cuts or sores in there, that kid on prep.
This is true. There's no mommy. So the baby drink, the daddy come. That's how baby is raised. And, that's fine. They do whatever they want. But what if the cum has AIDS in it? You're like, but dad, breast milk can also have AIDS. And he's like, Once again, I am wrong.
He just shuts the door. He's like, oh, fuck.
I can't participate in the world. Let the babies drink the cum.
2019.
Let gay people baby fuck mouth. Let them baby fuck a baby in the mouth. I don't care.
But that is like sometimes you'll talk to people, they don't even know what's being debated. Oh, like about the abortion thing. You know, like older people will be like, listen, they're taking babies out of the womb. They're picking out which one should get killed. Yeah. And then they're killing them.
Yeah.
You know? And you're like, is that what's happening?
That's part of white genocide.
Alabama just said no abortions.
Well, I think the future is
and
like
good.
The Supreme Court decisions won't matter. It's going to be red states where you like go to jail and are executed for like conceiving outside of wedlock.
Right.
And then blue states where you're allowed to murder your toddler.
Where you're put in jail if you gender. Don't hook up with a trans person.
Right.
If you refuse, you're supposed to
impregnate a trans person, and then up until the child is 5 years old, it's your responsibility to kill them if they say anything unwoke. And that's reproductive rights 2025.
What a fun country.
Uh-huh.
There's probably gonna be.
I think there's gonna be a Supreme Court challenge though for the Alabama thing.
Probably, sure,
but then they could overturn Roe v. Wade because they have like a majority right now.
Well, but, look, once again, I hate to say I told you so, but this is your fault if you voted for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, so true.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. And because you should have known that Donald Trump would beat her.
Yeah,
should have voted for Bernie Sanders.
That makes sense.
I mean, the reality is,
if we had all just written in Bernie Sanders,
Stein had won, when she was close,
we would have a quartz crystal on the Supreme Court.
Jill Stein had won.
He's going to win. He's going to win in 2020, and literally nothing will stop that from happening.
Yeah, no, he's going to win.
Well, there's like every day there's a new someone I've never heard of that's like a Democratic candidate. There's like 25 now.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's fucking hilarious, dude. Mm.
Well, everyone's going to get one vote from themselves.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. It'll just be a nice, fun election.
It is. It's such a weird collection
of folks.
Of people. They're like, well, I'm not going to say I'm an outright communist, but I do think that trans surgery should be free, but only if you have schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? What is this?
And then there's people that are like,
that
Tulsi Gabbard, who's like went on Rogan, and she's like, listen. We got to unwind the military-industrial complex, and that's what I'll do on day one. Mm-hmm. Day one. As soon as I get in there, I'm going to bring all those generals in the office. I'm going to tell them the fun is over, boys.
It's over, boys.
And I'm going to send them all home, and then we'll see what happens. It's like, okay, oh, good. Good luck with that.
Wait, isn't she like... Wasn't she?
She was in a cult.
She was in a cult?
Her family were in like a Buddhist, like... cult
doesn't
or no she, sorry a Hindu cult
doesn't
yeah.
she have something to do doesn't isn't she like either strongly pro or anti
her family were anti-gay
they were anti-gay like, it was an anti-gay cult
yeah,
but it
yeah.
was a pro what cult what were they pro
they were I think maybe pro killing Muslims
they loved Israel they loved Israel and hated gays
it was
the best of times it was the worst of times we love Israel but we do not like gays
no.
she's a big fan of Modi in India who's like a brutal like Hindu nationalist
he's like a chill wave DJ
I thought you meant Modi the comedian
I
was like oh okay
that
sounds like a Jewish name
I thought she was going to be a good nominee
because she did that song, Natural Blues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know any Moby songs.
Oh.
I think Rogan should interview every candidate.
Yes, absolutely.
Every candidate should go on there.
Isn't that Natural Blues?
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. Elizabeth Warren would just doing DMT. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren doing salvia.
Just getting high.
But Tulsi Gabbard knows how to surf, though. That's pretty cool. That's, and hey, she was in the troops.
Nothing wrong with that.
She was one of the troops.
What did she do with the troops?
She sucked dicks.
Yeah.
she
kicked a few Afghan babies in the face.
She was kind of a slam pig.
She pissed on a few Afghan people.
Great.
Yeah.
Good for her, man.
Did Pete Buttigieg kill any people in
I don't know. He released a real goofy.
This is why we're losing wars, because we have Pete Buttigieg and Tulsi Gabbard. Like, those are the people on the front lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just gay guys and cult members
yeah.
trying to win a war against warlords.
Well, yep. He's even more sinister than that. He's like a fucking, like, doing all the internships for your resume guy.
We lose them because they're not like wars. They're just incomplete genocides.
Right.
Yeah. It's the only way to
win.
We
never finish anything.
We never finish the job.
Yeah.
What did he do? What kind of, what
he was in the Navy, but it was just like
that's
to check
the
off another
one.
Thing. Of course.
The Navy is literally just a cumsicle of boys on a boat. Like, no one who goes into the Navy doesn't think about fucking a dude.
Oh,
you
man.
Have to think about
it. I watched, because I was fantasizing about having like
sex with the
yes.
men in the Navy. Navy.
In the Navy. And then I was like, yeah, it would be weird a guy thinking about that stuff in bed by myself in the dark.
Yeah.
Just saying that out loud. Yeah, I mean, it'd be crazy if someone thought about that.
It's such a good bit that my mind just did on
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's
hilarious.
So I got to text everybody the thing I thought about when somebody else came up with that. But like how what I would want to see is like a highly fictionalized biographical film about Jerry Bruckheimer and Don Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night I watched an interview with both of them on Charlie Rose from 95.
Very nice.
Discussing Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
And Don Simpson is just gone. Just coked out of his
what's
mind.
His, he was like the biggest cokehead in Hollywood or
the
something?
The biggest. And he is very charismatic.
Is he still alive?
But he's just, I mean, he looks like a Dick Tracy villain sitting there, and he keeps, you know, rubbing his nose, and he's like, you know, I'll tell you, the Bad Boys is why we go to the movies, and Crimson Tide is why we make movies. And that's the thing that, I, you know, and it's just all this, like, used car salesman,
yeah.
like, huckster bullshit.
He's probably grossed, like, $5 billion at the box
he's
office.
He's made so much money.
Like,
but
mega
he would spend,
hits.
He would spend $60,000 a day on drugs.
Wait, what?
Yeah. You can't put that much up your
he
nose.
Did.
He
has,
probably shared it.
His yeah. autopsy has the record for most substances in a human body at time of death.
That's amazing.
He was on 22
yes,
different no. drugs at the time of his death.
That rocks.
Dick yeah. pills for sure.
Everything.
Yeah.
I don't think dick pills had come out yet. It was 96.
Nah, he had.
So that's, it was like, that was right that when was Viagra.
A guy like that.
He was
a like
testing
phase. Drop.
He was ahead of where we were. Like, the military is 20 years ahead of technology.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy like that's 20
Simpson.
Years ahead. Don Simpson.
Yeah. 1972.
Yeah. You watch a clip of Crimson Tide, and it's just the interaction between Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington. And the clip ends, and Charlie Rose is already looking at Don, who's, like, fidgeting in his seat, and he's, like, all pumped about it.
Yeah.
He's like, well, what are you doing? You've already seen this. And he's like, I just love it. I love watching people. I love watch global masters of their craft.
Oh, great.
Really.
Have you seen the new Master of Seat class where, like, Judd Apatow teaches comedy? And
no.
Then, oh, you
yeah,
haven't
you
seen
for YouTube
I mean, it's
videos.
An yeah. insane, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just like people
how to
that
make
are,
electronic music.
Yeah, it's like people. It's like Martin Scorsese's
cool.
like going to teach you movies
right,
if
right,
you just
right.
pay,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It costs you $400. You watch.
That would have been great. A Don Simpson masterclass.
Yeah, yeah.
Coke to his face, you know? That would have been the one. That would have been the one to pay for.
Oh, my God. The people. Talk about the pedophilia he did, probably.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't
Simpson?
Even know.
I don't think Don Simpson was a pedophile.
No, don't take all of our heroes.
Yeah.
yeah
don't take everyone. Leave somebody.
His dick was probably so shriveled from the fucking
I don't
doing
think,
coke
I, yeah,
day.
I think he was a guy that like bought prostitutes and had them piss on him and call him a faggot.
Yeah. yeah. I think you're right. Like, I think you're right.
Yeah, he's like that's he's yeah. attracted to women, but he wants them to like degrade him. And not even because he was into it. He's
yeah.
just like, what's next?
Yeah.
Let's
yeah,
make
yeah.
a move. Let's make a picture.
Yeah.
I heard that Weinstein, like, what his move was just asking to eat puss.
Yeah.
Because, like, apparently
that doesn't sound
his dick
bad.
Was, like, so broken.
Mm-hmm. That's that stop.
He would just
no.
get young
that's
actresses to go
future.
To his hotel
no,
and eat
not.
Their pussies.
Mm-hmm.
And my
dick
is working
that's,
fine.
That's
just
the nicest way to rape somebody
barging
ever.
Barging into Rosario Dawson's hotel room.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? I'm cute. I'm charming.
Let me eat your pussy.
Eating her pussy. And then
I
we have to be like, look, all the signs were there. We knew what he was doing, but we didn't know.
It's the strangest. It's the strangest way to get raped.
Everyone Everyone knew exactly what he was doing, but we didn't care to do anything.
Right.
Maybe that's what they were saying. They were like, yeah, well, he's only eating puss, so yeah, you can't blow the whistle on him.
These women are coming. They're coming during their rape.
So how selfish could they be?
Yeah, maybe that's why the women didn't report it. They're like, I was coming. I was actually having an orgasm.
Yeah, actually, ma'am, we have a video of you coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's why he probably ate pussy with a GoPro on.
Yeah.
So he has all the tapes.
What'll happen to
like a police
like
body cam?
Yeah, like a police. Let's see the Harvey Weinstein GoPro footage.
I'll tell
you what, guys. Uh-huh. If Harvey Weinstein wanted his dick to work, he should probably take Blue Chew.
That's right. He should.
What the hell is that? What did you just say?
Blue Chew.
What are you? What the freaking hell is that?
Is that a chewable? Because I love chewables.
It's a chewable. Oh, it's a chewable. Wow. Like a Flintstones vitamin.
Thank God.
But it's for grown-ups, okay? This isn't a little Barney Rubble pill. What we got here is a pill to make your dick work while you find the copy for the ad.
Which, by the way...
But do I have to go to a doctor or something?
No, don't have
okay.
That sucks.
The doctor is at home looking at his own penis.
All you do is take a picture of your soft cock and you send it to the doctor on Blue Chew.
You go to BlueChew.com and upload a picture of your penis. You mail a picture of your penis soft to support@BlueChew.com.
And then you beat off with your soft dick for at least 35 seconds.
You have to come soft.
You make a video.
Exactly. You prove that you're coming soft.
Yeah. You have to go soft.
You email support@bluechew.com a picture of your soft penis.
Yeah.
And then they'll respond with a reference number. You then send them the pornography that you've been looking at and nudes of your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Back to support@bluechew.com. And then you go on the website, sign up, and you fill out one simple form. You put in the reference number in there, and they line up your medical charts with the pictures of your penis and your girlfriend's pussy.
It sounds easy.
They check if your girlfriend's pussy's fucked up.
Yeah.
Because that might be her fault.
Because a lot of the time...
In fact, 85% of the time.
I tried it, and I sent it in, and I was like, yeah, I know what you're going to say. My girlfriend's pussy's disgusting. But they said, actually, sir, you're gay.
This is a really good pussy.
It turns out
you're gay.
This is a one-stop shop.
We looked at your dick and measured it, and you're gay. And that's, they said that to me. And this is...
They never want to make money. They never want to sell the pills.
That's why you know... That's how you know
it's a good company.
That's how you know
they're
trusting.
They'll tell you the truth.
And then now you know they're prescribing the right dosage.
Yes, exactly. Correct.
And with that, I got my prescription for Tadalafil or whatever the fuck.
Uh-huh.
It's generic Cialis or Viagra. Viagra, obviously, if your dick is too small, and Cialis if you're actually gay.
Those are the two options.
And it comes in a chewable form, so it can work faster than pills.
And you can give it to children.
You can give it to children.
Absolutely.
If you're a gay couple, because
your son's dick won't get hard.
I'm just saying, make the baby take a pill so it becomes gay. Make the baby's penis.
He's embarrassed. He's embarrassed his dick doesn't work. Give him the Blue Chew pill so he can fuck his parents.
Blue Chew is 100% certified to work on your baby. So you can make his penis bigger as when he's a baby. So when he grow up, he has a nice big juicy penis. The online physician.
What you want with your kids.
The consultation is free, so it's cheaper than Viagra and Cialis. Because you got to pay to go to the doctor at first.
Yep.
It only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. You just got to fill out a chart, get to know them. You guys smell each other, send pictures back and forth.
And they're not a real doctor. Which
they're
makes
not a real
great.
Doctor.
No. That's even better. They're
it's
not
another.
Really...
It's another gay man. That sex with.
It's another man who can't get hard.
It's another guy.
And if you guys
it's another guy who comes soft.
And,
so.
And these interactions are filmed by Blue Chew, who sells the video of you guys having
on
sex.
On the dark web.
To make money, and that's how they can afford to give you these pills at low prices.
That's right. It's subsidized by the clandestine gay pornography.
They film child pornography of your gay couple's children taking the pills and blowing them. And that's how they can afford to bring you
These rock bottom prices.
Uh-huh. Blue Chew gives you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it. Tired of reminding yourself that you're gay while you try and have sex with your girl? Open up. Let her know. Who cares? Because you've got Blue Chew on your side to help you accept yourself.
That's right.
It'll take care of getting your dick hard so your mind can tear itself apart thinking about something else.
Will they ship it in discreet packaging, or will they let everyone know that I'm gay? I have a small dick and I'm unemployed.
You can choose, actually. You can choose either discreet packaging.
Yeah. So when your mom brings your mail to you in your bedroom at her house, she'll be like, oh, it's just your custom medicine and your books that come in a fleshlight sized box.
Yeah.
From RX Books Company.
Yeah.
.real.
You don't need that passive aggressive, unsupportive bitch.
Yeah. And now, who doesn't realize that it's her fault that you can't get hard?
Right.
In a way.
Because her trash pussy jeans.
Her trash pussy
jeans. Passed
on
to you in the form of a soft little cock.
Right. Your lack of respect for women comes directly from her.
She was in labor for 4 minutes.
Right.
And so your first experience was with a very loose woman.
Yeah. Very loose, disgusting housewife.
She couldn't wait for you to be ejected from her body.
Mm-hmm.
And never showed you warmth ever again.
Sounds like a good product.
And that's what BlueChew.com, and they're prescribed by and made in the USA.
It's all made in America, folks. All made in the country.
95% of our audience is military first responders, and they hate buying shit made by chinks.
Yeah.
And that's why BlueChew.com is 100% certified, not chink made.
Is that in the copy?
He's just talking.
Sorry, guys, it's in the copy. I'm reading it.
They're paying us.
Yeah, they told us explicitly, let the vets know their chinks are hands off on this one. And then we got some free camo baseball caps that say Viagra on them. Look, my dick was blown off in Iraq, and I still take Blue Chew so that the nerves that are still there remember why I made that sacrifice.
That's right.
And it's so that I can drive a truck made by guys like me.
Absolutely
correct. I think. And drive a truck,
take a dick pill.
Comedy Central show gets picked up, this is the clip I will send to them to try to get Nick the head writer's job. I won't say anything. Right after it finishes, I'll go, you see? You see?
Yeah, so you know, you can just imagine hardworking union type guys in a factory. They're sweaty, steaming, pressing these pills into existence while Bruce Springsteen plays in the background.
Right. Yeah, knowing that other men will be virile because of their work.
Yeah, they just have a hardworking job and they go home to their wives and their family who they treat right because the Bible showed them how.
Yeah,
and that's who's making these dick pills.
God bless.
For small dick gay guys. So chew it and do it. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code Cumtown. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Cumtown.
What a great promo code for the product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Tim, you ever used a dick pill?
Yes, sir.
Viagra. Mm. My friend gave me a Viagra. My friend's a sex addict who's fucked his dick into it just barely works.
Yes.
And, hell yeah.
So he's,
respect.
Yeah. No, he's really, he's turned it out.
What does he use now? Like a cock pump?
He only fucks once a week.
Sex addict in the gay community?
No, he's straight.
Oh.
So he's like had to go to meetings. He just can't not fuck. Like, there's no, like, monogamy's not at all an option at all. Like,
I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah, or is this all monogamy?
It's a painful necessity.
Yeah.
It's something you have to do to get people to like you.
Right. You fuck like a cat fox. It's just like every once and it's...
Yeah. Just so people know I'm normal.
Okay.
Right.
I'm capable of connecting with
people. No, but a sex addict in the gay community is dead.
Look.
Yeah. Angels in America.
I can relax and have fun with somebody. I'm capable of that.
That's what Rent was about. Rent was a show about sex addicts who deserved their punishment from God.
Yeah.
And they sang about it.
Yeah.
That's when Broadway was fun because people from Ohio would go into a theater because they thought like Rent was like, you know, really hip and like, I want to stay Rent. And then it would just be people going, AIDS for a half hour.
I got my ass fucked. Yeah. I got my mouth cummed in.
AIDS blood in your face.
And Jersey Boys is like, hey, look, fellas, I'm not gay and nothing, but I'm feeling like maybe we should sing a song. I mean,
if you guys want to. I don't know.
I'll have sex with my wife or I'll do this tap dance.
Maybe I'll do a little bit of tap dancing, but I'm, you know, this is out of character for me. So you know, I'm a Jersey boy.
I'm in the Jersey Boys.
Broadway now feels like everything I see is just like Aladdin or...
It's bad. There's a good show called The Ferryman about the Irish Republican Army, and the Irish people are portrayed as, and it's true, just as drunk, sexually confused. Like, if the show is literally just people running around the stage swigging whiskey and dancing. It would be like if they did a show about black people where they're just eating buckets of chicken. And, like, this whole family's just drunk all the time. They're dancing around. Everybody's fine. It's a good show, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, Irish politics are all about figuring out who to be mad at about your molestation.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And I still think it is the Protestants who live in Belfast.
Yeah.
I got in an argument on my tour bus once with an Irish guy who with the horses, because I said, I just pointed at him and I said, the horses are all out of here soon. And he started going nuts. He's like, you don't know what you're talking about. And there was just tourists on the bus watching me scream at this Irish guy who like had a top hat on. I mean, he really looked ridiculous. He was
when
one
he
of the
brought his horses on the tour.
He was one of the carriage guys in Central Park. So we were stopped by the park and I was just like, you see these guys? They're all, I was a little aggressive. I said, you see them? They're all done. They're going to kick the horses out of here. And he's like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. He started screaming at me and I just said, why don't you put a bomb in a baby carriage in Belfast, you animal? And the whole, like, the tour was like really, really, like, what is going on? But he was screaming at me, calling me a faggot and everything. He didn't even know this guy. He's like, yeah, faggot. And he had a top, like a purple top hat on, calling me a faggot outside of
Irish
Central
goon.
Park.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just a guy dressed like Drop Dead Fred
and he thinks,
screaming.
And he thinks he has like a steely quiet dignity. That's what that guy imagines himself as being like, you know, you show patience to people, you know, whatever.
He went home that day, he looked at his wife, probably hit her, and he was like, this fat faggot was yelling, we're done, we're never done.
Yeah, his wife, who looks exactly like you, but
yeah, of course. Irish women age like cabbages. This is a fact. I am the most, like, Irish women are all masculine, they all have varicose veins, they all smoke cigarettes, they ash their cigarettes into seashell ashtrays.
Cold breasts.
Yeah, they have
somehow
names like Terry.
Yeah.
My grandmother had a lady named Terry who was a maid. It was the only Irish white maid left. And she would go and just scrub my grandmother's house and she would get drunk. And her and my grandmother would just get hammered. And every time Terry would drive home, she would call up my grandmother's answering machine and go, I made it! And hung up. Just so my grandmother knew she wasn't in jail because she was literally a bottle over the legal limit. And she had scrubbed her hands down to bloody nubs washing the house.
Beautiful. What a throwback.
They were a doomed race, the Irish.
Yeah.
Doomed.
Yeah.
You're an Irishman, too?
Yeah. What do you mean, too, so Adam? Like,
Nick,
you are?
Nick is one.
Well, Nick is, sure.
Yeah.
Are you all Jewish?
All Jew.
All Jew.
All Ashkenazi. Mm-hmm. Eastern
it's
European.
Always fun, like, if like a nice couple comes to like a show and they're like, hey man, I heard about you on Cumtown, and then like just a nice professional couple, and then the guy will say to me, like, in front of other people, he'll go, you should rape Adam. And then walk out of Cap City in Austin. I'm like, thanks. And then like someone who doesn't know the joke will be like, okay. You know, just standing there like, all right.
Because the thing is like, it would be bad. You shouldn't do it, but it would be fun.
It would be a bit.
It would be a great
for the
bit.
Show.
It would be very funny.
It would be very funny.
It's one of those, you know, it's kind of one of those Roger Rabbit things where it's like,
oh my God, if I got raped, I'd be such a drama queen about it. I would look that for months.
No, you would be really upset and you would need to be in therapy for the rest of your life.
The rest of his life.
I'm already in therapy the rest of my life.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be there anyway. Let's make it good.
I'm going to be there anyway.
Let's make it worth it.
Just give me something to talk about.
Yeah.
But imagine being like a casual fan of this podcast and 6 months from now just hearing, oh yeah, Tim, one of the guests just raped the host.
He raped Adam.
As a bit.
No, not as a bit.
It was just...
like, not as a bit, but that's what would make it funny.
Male-on-male rape's interesting because I don't know how you would do it. Like, I'm literally even thinking about...
You have
I
to bludgeon
the
other person.
I mean, you would literally, you'd have to
violent.
Fight them.
In jail, they use two guys.
Well, that's true. But that's serious physical. You can't get out, and somebody grabs you, and you just that it is what it is.
Very violent.
But on the outside, let's say I wanted to.
A lot of it is coercion.
I'm trying to.
You'd be surprised. You could probably talk somebody into gay sex by just like physically intimidating them without doing anything.
Interesting.
Like
Have you seen? And can you explain how that would? Can you take me step by step how that would work hypothetically? Well,
there's a breeding process. Yeah, right. To the same degree
that people will just fucking quote unquote get mugged by handing their fucking money over to somebody. Yeah. It's like, come on, man, just give me your wallet. Like that
you
happens.
Think someone is like
that happens
man,
literally all the.
Dick. And you would suck their dick.
I think there. Yes.
Did you see
probably people
in plain sight?
Coerce into doing that.
What?
Look, it happens to women all the time. It's right. Like you know. I mean, if
yeah,
you,
but they're scared for their physical.
So are plenty of like. There's
so plenty
of people
men.
That won't stand up for themselves.
But I feel like a lot of men want that to happen. If that's the case, I feel like a lot of them.
Right.
Because now I'm thinking I should have raped so many people. That
I was talking. I was like Abby and Karen had some like guy over here that was like a British guy that I guess did their podcast or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and now I've like just told who it is, but whatever. I fucked.
Okay, they had Jeff Leach here.
I don't know, but this guy's sitting here and he's talking about like, you know, he's like new to, he's like fucking British. He's visiting New York. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm like just. You know, it's my first time here or whatever. I had kind of an interesting experience. And he's like, I was in Times Square and I got mugged. And I'm like,
wait,
what? I was like, you got mugged in Times Square? Yeah. What is this, 1998? Like, how right, the fuck did you get right, mugged
yeah.
in Times Square? And he's like, some guy was just like, you know, he said he had CDs and he was like, you know, do you have any money on you? And I pulled out my wallet and he was like, just let me get all of it or whatever. And he's like, I didn't know what to do. So I just gave him my money and I kind of walked away.
What?
And he gave up $600.
What?
He just handed good. $600 to a man in the middle of Times Square, surrounded by police officers, because he like was just pushed into this corner because he's like socially awkward.
Right.
So if you don't think that that's a guy, you can be like, man, suck my dick or I'll fucking beat the shit out of you. And he's not going to be like, well, I don't want to be rude. I mean, like that's who it happens
I
to.
Guess. But a dick is... Putting a cock in your mouth.
$600
is handing over.
Well, you better believe I'm not letting somebody take $600 from me.
What I'm saying is, it's so easy to just the physical act of handing someone $600. I'm not letting someone take $600 from me either.
Yeah.
But the physical act of just opening your wallet and handing someone a stack.
Okay.
Of bills,
let's take this another way. If I give you $600, can I suck your cock in Times Square?
Yeah.
Can we just arrange?
And then you could Tim and that guy with the CDs are working a 1-2.
Yeah.
Where Tim comes back and he's like, all right, man. Well, listen, I see you're down some cash. How about for $200?
Joe Montana comes up. That was good. So you put the beaner on the outside. They think you've slipped it to them. Meanwhile, you've sucked each other's dick and you're $600 in the clear. That's the short con, you see? It's different. It's the short one. There's a long con. You always got to figure out what the angles are.
Yeah. It's great.
That's a good con.
I like the way you work.
House of Gays.
Yeah.
House of Gays.
Well, in that documentary, Abducted in Plain Sight, that rape is like rape this whole family. He raped
both
his parents.
Yeah, but that family wanted that.
You think the family wanted it?
I think the family had some serious issues.
Yeah. I think that
you let a pedophile
like,
live in your house.
The amount of people, first of all, permanent adolescence is like a problem now across the board. There's plenty of people that are just children, essentially, emotionally, walking around.
And you should be able to fuck them.
Yeah.
If someone is a permanent child.
That's a nice middle ground. If you're
Your Honor. Your Honor.
Yeah. They're only an emotional child, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Fuck. But so you think coercion? Nick's theory in terms of
Nick is
to help
probably
you out,
right? Nick is probably right.
Coercion, but then also I think drugging is probably a go-to.
Yeah,
there's all these assumptions people have about what they would do in a situation,
and no one knows
or how they would act. I mean, it's like the classic example of that is like somebody's accused of like killing their wife, and then they're on the news, and they're like, I mean, yeah, it's like she's gone. It sucks, you know. They're like, I don't know, like what to say about it. And then people are like, oh, look how little he gives a shit. Obviously he did it. And it's like, well, your wife wasn't murdered.
Or it was like 9/11 when that guy, Todd Beamer, said, but we all know that there were no planes, but the guy who was on the plane was like, oh, let's roll. Like, and people don't know how they're going to react in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh, I would have.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if I was on that plane, I wouldn't let that guy force me to suck his dick.
Yeah, I would suck. Yeah, yeah. I would suck Mark Wahlberg off if he was on that plane. That's how I would die with Mark Wahlberg's cock in the back of my throat. Yeah. Praise Allah. That would be great. I would do that next week if they said, "You know what? You, you want to die with Mark Wahlberg's cock in your mouth in a fireball?" Yes.
You know, what would be a really fun movie is Mark Wahlberg. So the terrorists they kill the pilots, and Mark Wahlberg's on the plane.
Yeah,
and he's like, "I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to stop these guys."
Yeah,
and then he goes into the cockpit and beats them up, and then you know he's like, "Time to land the plane." And still fucks up and crashes into the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Because he can't, because he doesn't know how to fly a plane and he's too proud to let anyone else do it.
That would be great.
There's a pilot.
I got this.
There's a different pilot on the
fucking
plane.
Hold on one second. One second.
Yeah. So how was Tom Myers? Good.
He was, you know, he was a, you know, he's, there's something off, I would say. He did tell me a lot about the Baltimore, Maryland comedy scene.
Oh, that's great.
We kind of got it out of him. He's not a comedian anymore. He's kind of just like
teller?
He's not really doing comedy as much. He's just working on his podcast.
Sorry, the cat was going somewhere it shouldn't be.
And he's managing a restaurant, a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, we know about the Mexican restaurant.
Yeah,
God love him.
Respect to him.
Sweet man.
Yeah,
I wish he would open for us.
I just didn't want to address it. But
we could take him on the road, man. He could open. We pay him well.
You don't need to do anything with Tom Myers other than point at him and let him do his thing.
No, yeah, he'll bury himself.
I don't think.
I don't want to bury him. I want him to thrive.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you? Nobody wants to bury Tom Myers. I want Tom Myers to have 9 different development deals.
Here's the thing. You want him to be like a whack packer so you get something out of it. You know, like Beetlejuice.
I don't even want
that. No, I don't want that.
I want him to flourish.
Genuinely, like...
I love Tom.
I don't love Tom. I think Tom's kind of an asshole, but it's like, it really doesn't mean anything to me if he has all this success. It's like...
I want him to be rich.
I think he's like...
Well, the first step to that success was getting on Gas Digital this afternoon with Lewis. So it's a matter of time before
managers and agents were definitely listening.
Yeah.
To the real ass.
The N-word was said, I swear, about 8 times.
Yeah.
8 N-words.
Tom said the N-word?
Zach was on. Okay. Zach was in full force.
Yeah. Tom's like Tommy Wiseau, I guess.
Yeah.
Except Tom's actually kind of like a malicious person.
Yeah.
I guess. But he's so... It's like the way like a cat would kill you if it was like bigger. It's like, but the cat has...
Sure, he's not threatening.
He's not
threatening, but it's like, I have no interest in, like, there's no whack packer sense of it. I don't really want to be associated with him. It's just, I happen to know who Tom was, and then I had an audience.
You got to
get a load of this guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He lacks a charm. A lot of hacky Long Island comedians have more of a charm.
Yeah.
No. This guy does not have a charm.
No.
I think he might legitimately be schizophrenic or schizoid.
Something's
or something.
Not right.
Yeah.
My mother is schizophrenic, though, and she's funnier. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. Sure.
She's, like, much fun. Schizophrenics are kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom
lacks any ability to really, like, create any kind of construct of what's going on in anyone else's head. It's beyond a detachment from reality. He just like fundamentally does not understand a single other human being in the entire world.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to go.
I would love to watch him have sex.
And that's
he
why
he brought a guy.
And it's like honestly, that's why he Did only he? Cares about politics.
He brought a dude. He's straight, but he brought some older guy with him, who was I guess with him.
His handler
was it Ron Bender?
I did not ask. Ask his name.
Ron Bender, who's a sweet man, is a guy that just does like kind of like one-liners.
Yeah.
And he used to go to shows with Tom.
Yeah.
And
comedy's a real disease.
And
that's really what it comes down to.
Ron Bender was like, you know, kind of overweight or whatever.
Yeah.
He seemed like a sweet guy. I would like, talk to him here and there. And I'd forgotten about him. And Tom posted a picture one time of Ron Bender being wheeled onto stage in a wheelchair.
Right.
It says, "The Return of Ron Bender." And it's like, I guess he's lost the ability to walk now.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, who amongst us can blame a fat man for needing to perform without the full use of his legs? I think.
Yeah.
I think that's actually...
It's noble.
Very brave of him to do, you know?
Damn, I need to eat something.
I actually have...
Food, I'm starving. I had nothing all day.
I have a little snack for both of you guys.
What
actually.
Do you have? Oh, is it your dick? Yeah. Oh, that was fucked up because I thought it was
you
real.
You walked into that,
too. You had a sandwich.
You walked in.
I thought you
that.
Had, like, a nice sandwich.
You, really, you
got
like,
excited.
Oh,
yeah, I thought you had a thing.
That's how the grooming process works that with is, rape, right?
Yes. That's how that I start. I'm always like, hey, you want a snack, boys? You want? I got something for you to eat. And they're like, what? And I'm like, my dick. And then they do a calculation in their head. They're like, well, this guy might attack me.
Right.
So I better suck his dick, and I better suck it good.
I better suck it good.
Because if not, he might attack me after he comes.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So there's nothing worse than coming partially soft because of an inadequate blowjob. Then you got to beat the shit out of this guy.
I know. That's the only way they learn.
This will sound ridiculous, but somebody posted a picture of like a, you know, like a Nat Geo thing with like tribal people.
Yeah.
And, you know, their titties are out, but one of them's an albino, so they're regular white titties. And it's like, I don't think you should be publishing that.
What?
If just, you know, the other ones are fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think a white woman's breast should just be
out there.
Just published.
You find it wrong.
It's not.
Is it a white woman with
an invasion of privacy?
Does she have black features, though?
Well, I'm not looking at her face.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
I'm going to go on record and
I'd
say
feel
it's
a
fine.
Little better if she's got black facial. I'd feel a little
I'm
bit better.
I'm going to go on record and take the opposing view.
I understand she's actually from an African tribe.
Right.
And she probably speaks in clicks and whistles. But I am looking at a white woman's pair. Breasts, and I feel like.
But I will say, even from here,
it's rude.
She has a black face.
She does,
and I am that is, is okay.
Face or no face, black face or no face.
The only thing, and what's making it worse is that they're small and kind of perky.
They're not great,
which is defying her race even more.
Interesting.
Now, and, would you feel better if she?
She has a flat ass too.
Would you feel better if she was wearing black traditional black face?
No, that would be racist.
That would be racist. Okay,
that would be wrong.
Okay,
be welcome back to Instagram.
I apologize.
Is it? Look at the next thing I scroll down to right after I say that.
What is it?
Well, I'm not going to tell you, but
it's a white bitch. Yes, it is.
Well, I mean, it's just ironic. It's funny. Yeah. I said that. That's the next thing under it. But
just some white hoe.
With juicy titties.
The Sonic
Jumbo
movie.
Jumbo Yum Yums. What's up?
This is the Sonic movie. Everybody's talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get enough of it.
It was kind of a wasted bit at the live show, but we were doing... Yeah. Stav was complaining about Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik, and we thought maybe Philip Seymour Hoffman would be better.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely would be better.
We riffed that one out, and that was fun.
Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Why don't you give people a couple choice lines?
I can't even...
You can't?
No.
I can't remember them either.
Something about his
mostly,
car.
Yeah.
I fucking love you, Sonic.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
He tries to suck off Sonic by the Camaro.
Was he on heroin all the time?
All the time.
All the time, man.
I think he got
the fuck are the Chaos Emeralds?
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh was taking like, I think it was 40 Oxycontin a day or something. 38 Oxycontin.
Damn, respect. Yeah.
Damn. God, what a fucking dude.
Legend.
That's awesome. That's
ladies
fucking
gentlemen,
awesome.
Just so.
Dude, you got to watch that interview with Don Siegel and or Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it when I get home.
Don Simpson is just so funny. He's just such a funny guy. I wish there was more content of him being interviewed and asked about.
Yeah, he should have been on camera. He shouldn't have been behind the scenes.
He moved to L.A. to be an actor.
Oh, shit.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, and that's then he great. Got a job at Paramount and worked his way up to being VP of production. And then
just couldn't stop making hits.
Well, he was a VP of production at Paramount, and then he left to be partners with Bruckheimer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they did fucking...
Top Gun,
Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the other...
Actually, they very well may have raped Tom Cruise.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But the way...
He was vulnerable and cute back in those days.
The way they talk, it really... doesn't seem like they know why that's bad.
Right.
Right.
And, you know,
and that just, excuses it.
At a certain point,
he's like, they'll sit there and they'll both like go back and forth. And Bruckheimer can't control his face. He keeps like, he'll say things and then just like end with this like weird smile.
Yeah.
You know, like, and he doesn't know where the smile should be going.
Yeah.
And like, they go back and forth, and I could totally see them being like, it's not that we raped Tom so much, it's that we both love actors. We love acting, we love the process of acting, and we really try to surround ourselves with people that I wouldn't say vulnerable per se, although the argument could be made. It's that that they express a sort of willingness to be malleable, to form themselves in any way, shape, or form that can become anything, even a vagina. And that's sort of the mentality that we go into when we make pictures, and we love making pictures, and that's why we do this. And it's like they're just like they're just both fucking insane.
Yeah,
you know.
But that's who you need.
Yeah,
you need people like that. You need coked out people
to make certified
that don't know if they're raping people or if this is part of the process.
That's how Me Too is ruining Hollywood.
So true, Adam.
They're kicking all those. They're kicking the true creative. Executives out of
see, Adam's
power.
Being ironic now, but what he's
it's
going to
be all lesbians.
What Adam's saying has
it's
some
gonna
real
be
merit,
all lesbians.
And what Adam's trying to do, of course, is be this ironic, you know,
and lesbians ones, don't
you
know
enlightened
good
communists.
Movies.
But the reality is, we're kicking out a lot of fucking characters. Let's just call them what they are. They're characters.
It's true.
They're wacky, kooky guys.
They're kooky, wacky characters. You know.
Yeah,
they tried to call the cops on Weinstein. A bunch of times, and then they said, oh, what did he do? He just ate my pussy. And they're like, well, that's not...
The cops were like, well, you're a lucky woman.
Congratulations,
and they sent her home.
They're like, we love what we love Pulp Fiction, Mr. Weinstein.
Yeah, then they came and they ate her pussy.
That's probably happened, actually.
That's wild.
Yeah, no, it's crazy because it's like, you're probably right. I mean, Simpson probably... Because even in that interview, Harvey Weinstein comes up. And it's so funny, too, because Charlie Rose is the other guy at the table.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Jerry Bruckheimer, Don Simpson.
Just a rape round table.
And then Charlie Rose
the
being
the most distinguished
like,
rapist
of
them all.
Yeah, he goes, you know, Harvey Weinstein told me that, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then Don Simpson goes, well, he's a very smart man. Yeah. You know, that man has a high degree of intelligence in a way that I think many people can't really appreciate, per se. You know, he's like, just always like everything. He just has to like add these little like stingers to every sentence. And then he's always doing this weird shit with his eyes, you know?
Yeah.
And then he'll like say something. And then he, you know, he's just fidgeting. He's just sitting in the chair, just going. He's just like such a coke guy.
So it's good to see somebody coked out or drugged up and at the top of their game.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's just, he's sweating and he's like, beautiful. Tanned, and he's been in that mode. Like, it's fucking, it's like, you know, that guy was just going from like 1970 until the minute his fucking heart explodes.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, great. I'm going to, you know what? Hold that thought. I'm going to get on the phone with him right now. Bob, it's Don. I got good news. Let's talk. And that just never stops.
He just keeps winning, too.
He just,
there's no like sense of like, I'm never going to lose. Like, I'm on top of the world.
Yeah. Cause they had, Days of Thunder was kind of a flop. I mean, not really, but, you know, it just didn't do as well as they thought it was going to. And then they had like a 5-picture deal with, I think, Paramount, actually, in 1990. It was like a $300 million 5-picture deal. And then the first one that they made was like a failure, you know. And after that, like they had like mutual, like they had an argument. Maybe it was Days of Thunder. I can't remember what the first one was, but they had a falling out, and then like the studio blamed them for overspending. They blamed the studio for rushing the production schedule, and then it was like, let's just part ways. And then they went over to Disney, and that's where they, you know, had like the last string of hits,
which was Bad Boys,
and Crimson Tide, and I don't know why I'm having trouble remembering, you know, what the third one.
Bruckheimer did the Pirates movies, but Don Simpson was probably
he died in 1996.
Yeah,
yeah,
he died before this fucking
the Rock.
This town.
The
changed.
Rock. The Rock was the last movie they did together.
Ooh, that's a
and
banger.
They were having a falling out at the time. Like that was like that was going to be the last movie they did together, and then
that was a crazy time to be a guy like that.
Yeah,
a guy like that now has to be a lot more cautious than a guy like that would have had to be in the 90s.
Yeah, you have like crisis.
80s and 90s was just, I mean,
yeah, I mean the 80s in particular. Yeah, and I, you know, like I we've talked about it before, but it's like it's funny because Hollywood only understands like the superficial,
right?
There's like been very brief periods where Hollywood at large really has any kind of like substance to it.
Sure.
And I think like, you know, you like you have to like go in understanding that all boomers are narcissists. They're at the time probably the first narcissistic generation, like,
yeah,
you know, as a whole. And that expressed itself coming out of like the 1950s with like the countercultural movement or whatever. All of these like Eastern ideas, Eastern like philosophies, yeah. New Age stuff imported into the like the West and sort of done it in like a it happened in like a bastardized way.
Yeah, it was all about me.
It's all about me rather than like
my
journey, the dissolution of self or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's about let's build that up.
Yeah, build it up and hyper focus on it and then elevate yourself to the level of like a fucking god. So the transcendence becomes you yourself is transcended rather than like.
And those movies like The Lesson Zeros, those movies about like Hollywood, even in, like in the 80s and the 90s, are some of the best movies because it's like every character is that.
Well, it's it grows out of like again like boomers experiencing that countercultural revolution, but then not integrating it the proper way and thinking that free love means debauchery, doing whatever the fuck you want,
right?
Like boundless, like to the extent that everyone gets AIDS, we're all just gonna fuck as much as we want. We're gonna fuck as much as I want,
right?
And like a lot of that is reflected in like you know in what Hollywood was doing in the 1980s. Including their actions. I mean, like I've said before, I think like partially some of that is kind of what set the stage for what really became a huge problem with pedophilia in Hollywood in the 1980s. Is that they're like, of course we can fuck kids. Why can't we? You know,
there's like a hedonism.
It's like yes, exactly. It's just this this unbridled hedonism that's supported by. You know, yeah, the intersection of just people being entirely self-interested and also misunderstanding like their own free love.
And also it being like an artistic. Like field, right? Like that they're making movies, that they're making art.
So it's like one pedophile getting a pang of like conscience and another guy just looking at him and going like, we're in an artistic field. Like, this is a field.
This is
what
art
is. I don't know
why.
What's really
telling of that mentality is you read the description of like, and it's all just tabloid stuff and blind items, but the description of Charlie Sheen raping Corey Haim.
Jeez.
And the way he describes it is he convinced him, and he's like, this is just what guys do. Like, actors do this with each other or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, Charlie Sheen was like 19 at the time, and it's like, well,
Corey Haim was how old?
I don't know, 13. So, but you know, Charlie Sheen probably got turned out.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, my theory always was that Martin Sheen, who like came over from the Catholic Church into Hollywood, probably brought that all over in from the church.
Martin Sheen was patient zero.
I'm going crazy.
Yeah. No, so Martin, because I'm trying to follow this, because I think this is real good.
The cadence of how you said that is like, oh,
I want to have something to talk to people that come to Laugh Boss, and I want to have something to talk to them about after the show. Martin Sheen fucked Charlie Sheen into being a pedophile with AIDS.
Well, and that's why Emilio kept his last name.
Because he didn't get fucked.
Because he didn't want to be part of that.
Emilio was hot. I would have rather fucked him. Maybe not.
This is all what I legitimately believe.
Right.
These are all my personal.
There's something
beliefs.
With the Sheen family that's off.
No, they're weird, dude.
Yeah,
watch Badlands and watch how much Martin Sheen enjoys.
Did you watch that Open Secret thing and all that stuff?
Why is it that Martin Sheen is not convincing in any other role except that one or West Wing, where he plays an elite
Jedediah Bartlett?
Yeah, where he plays a Democratic elite that rapes children. You know, why are those his two best roles?
Interesting.
You know. It's not confirmation bias.
No.
It's not me thinking these things and then watching those two movies specifically.
And being like, yes.
And being like, I knew.
Proof. Yeah. I think you're a sober-minded, rational guy. Especially about this issue and Hollywood. I don't think you're coming to it with your
Tim is definitely.
You know, it's so funny. It's because I look at Don Simpson and his mannerisms and see how like fucked up he is. And I'm like, oh, that's basically me.
Yeah.
I'm just not raping people.
Right.
And it's a billionaire.
And it's
a billionaire. Time,
man. And yeah.
What if
it's,
you get a nice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of endearing. I've just enjoyed it. You got to watch that video.
I'll watch it.
He's so sweaty and greasy and he's got this tiny little ponytail and this double.
He's exactly what 1990 Hollywood is.
Oh, yeah.
He probably drove a little Porsche.
Yeah.
Big house in the hills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always fuck big cell phone.
Yeah.
Coked out of his face.
Yeah.
Great.
I'll tell you, we love making pictures.
We love making pictures.
That was a great. That was actually business amazing.
There was actually one scene because you watch Real Masters. This is what he says. He goes, you watch Real Masters, guys like Washington and Hackman work with each other. And the thing is actors will watch the director and they get a sense of like, he's going to want 10, he's going to want 6, he's going to want 3. Some directors will get in, they'll do 3 takes, so the actor will save their best for the third. But Gene and Denzel, they know Tony, and they know Tony likes just about 6. So you can see them holding on, waiting, and they say 6, boom, this is it. This is the one we're going to do. And that's where they bring it and it really comes out. And, you know, the respect for each other, the mutual respect, you can really tell in the moment. You don't know if you have a good picture, but you can tell in the moment that the picture's working for you. You know, and it's just like,
wild.
Just going off. He's like,
there's something beautiful about a guy that's so into it.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, he loves making movies.
Yeah.
If it was like, you know, not if it was just was something other than movies and maybe like, doing brain surgery on children
like coming
with cancer.
Up with cures or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Then he would be a good guy. I mean, it's just, but you can't confuse like.
Just love these pedophiles talking passion. About things like that. Just be like, when the kid holds his hand for the first time, right. You know, the strength of that handshake. You know. You know that the relationship is working for you. You don't know if it's going to be a good fuck, but you know it's working for you.
You don't know if it's a good picture or not, but you do know you have chemistry there.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, there's a moment there, cameras aren't rolling, the scene cuts, and Denzel says, man, this man, that man knows how to act. And Hackman looks at him and goes, just like you. And it was a moment you could have scripted it. It seems like it came out of the movie. And it's like, just no, you were on massive amounts of cocaine.
Yeah. They did not even speak to
each
other.
And just a casual interaction between two people, you turned into some significant moment of actors.
But what a great life.
Yeah.
Just sitting there in the director's chair, coked out of your skull.
Yeah.
Watching things. And then
not directing, as a producer.
Right, not even direct, just
he's just sitting there watching monitors going, this is fucking great.
Yeah, with
and shoving shrimp in his mouth.
Yeah. And not tasting it because his mouth is numb.
Yeah.
That rules, dude.
Yeah.
But a producer, how is that even a job?
You think that because outside of the entertainment industry, you're like, who are all these fucking people? And then you get on a film set and you're like, oh, everyone's absolutely essential.
Yeah.
But like, the job is to just, you make sure all
there's
the
different
is
kinds
there.
Of producers.
There's a lot of different kinds of producers.
So what are
so an
they?
Executive producer is like a money guy.
And then they got to secure funding.
You want to go ahead and describe the entertainment industry?
Here's how it works. My uncle is this type of producer. My cousin.
There's like people that do scouting locations.
Those are all producers.
Yeah, or maybe that's a location scout.
The guy who produced my pilot, Anthony Bourdain, was very essential.
Yeah.
And then he hung himself. So that was a real problem for us going forward, is that the producer was found in a bathroom 48 hours after we signed
Paris.
The deal.
Yeah.
And then me and Nick were left with the people who didn't kill themselves.
Yeah.
For
the
a month.
I'm not going to say the guy's name, but that direct.
Yeah, that was not. It was not great.
Yeah.
But. So sometimes you do want them at least alive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're right.
You know, it was so hard to sit in that room.
Me and Nick were like, we were just asking questions, like normal questions and normal things. And the guy was asking, like, we were asking for like $100 million budget. Like, we were like, why didn't you do like a drone shot? Is there any like drone? And the guy's like, well, I would have set up a drone, like, because it's about a tour bus. Like, you just get any drone shot? Guy's like, that would have taken like the whole day.
Do any of these clips have sound?
Right.
He's like,
he's like, oh, we're gonna play this game again. You want to hear the clip?
I mean,
and then Nick nailed it because these guys all traveled around the world with Bourdain.
Yeah.
And Nick said something where he's like, yeah, these people all think having dessert is a subversive act. And literally, right after Nick said that, this fucking idiot walked in. I swear to Christ. He goes, yeah, we were in Angola during the Civil War. And it's like, and I looked at him, I go, doing what? Having soup? Who gives a fuck?
Right, right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. No, and then, you know, everything he said was, first of all, he spends the entire time sitting there trying to find new ways to cross his legs.
Right. Right. Just trying to prove he didn't have a cock.
Right.
That was the whole day.
How hard can he twist his legs like a fucking Twizzler to show you how comfortable he is?
And Nick would pitch things that were amazing. Like, they were really great. And everything Nick would say, this guy would give some version of, like, it's going to be too much. Mm-hmm. It's going to be too difficult. You know?
Yeah. I mean, where is that? Well, I guess we could talk off mic. But.
Well, I mean, they've a bunch of Daily Show editors have recut it. It is now a nightmare horror. Yeah. Dude, I didn't even know you could make something so, but like all these stories about pilots and shit are all true. Like, you'll look at something and you're like, I didn't even know you could do that with this.
But you want to talk about producing, and it's like a project like that is where, like, it's absolutely essential that you have at least one guy who is like a fucking master or preferably a couple of them that can be in your ear while you go shoot it, making sure that, like, you're extracting
as
much comedy as possible from, like, the event.
Dude,
you
can't, 100%.
You don't go out there with, like, a guy who directed, like, you know, we're going to fucking Vietnam to try cheese made out of piss.
Yeah. No, it was rough. And we also shot it on a day when it was 98 degrees, and that's just not the move for that particular shoot. Yeah. We should have just pushed it back 2 weeks.
And it's a shame because there's a lot of, like, really funny shit in that.
Yeah, there is some really funny stuff. Well, Comedy Central now loves the version that I do not like.
Oh, really?
They're like, we kind of like it.
Uh-huh.
And because Comedy Central, essentially the pitch for the show was like, it's really no more. Like, I'm giving a tour at the end of the. Yeah.
Is there any way to just lean into that? Get them to have it go to series?
Well, yeah. Listen, I'm trying.
Fix it in 101.
Yeah. I'm 100%.
Yeah.
Trying to, I would love the opportunity.
Is I love making unscripted comedy.
It's just great.
It's the greatest feeling in the world. And I tell you, when I watch some of my favorite comedians, really global masters in the crowd, it reminds me exactly of why I got into this business.
Yeah,
I love Don Simpson.
Well, see, I wish we had Don Simpson.
Yeah.
On this,
he
fucking,
dude. Here's the thing, Don. If Don Simpson, I wish I would give anything if I could have like worked with that guy.
Yeah.
Despite knowing that he's probably responsible for however bad you think Harvey Weinstein is, I'm sure this guy was like just off the charts. But I would have loved to look at that man and have him say, great fucking job.
That would have been great.
That would be the greatest feeling in the world if a guy like Don Simpson told you you were good at your job.
you would just get in that car.
You just want a father figure you respect?
No, it's not that he's a father figure. It's that, like, he's just like an enthusiastic guy that loves to be pleased and he knows what works for him. So if you can make a guy like that be like, fuck yeah. I mean, it's, you know
there's certain people you like.
He makes everyone excited.
Yeah, certain people you like to please.
Yeah.
Right.
Like in a work situation.
Right.
Right.
And he's like that guy.
Yeah.
There's some other types.
Like Bourdain would have been a nice guy to please, but he decided to hang himself in a bathroom.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
folks, we're going to wrap this up. But real quick, before we do, we want to make sure you know to come see us in Canada.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be up north of the border in June. 6:15 Toronto, 6:19 Montreal, 6:21 Ottawa, 6:23 Vancouver, and then 6:25 Edmonton.
That's right. So go to cometown.events. cometown.events. All the tickets are up. Buy those fucking shits. Is this a little last minute to do a fucking national tour of a country?
Smaller nation.
That we don't live in. Yes. But please just buy the tickets anyway.
Just buy them,
so that we could get a bunch of cocaine and we could be the next Don Simpson.
And also, just we want to clarify that it's two shows in one. So you're getting an hour and a half of stand-up you're getting an hour and a half of
usually we do two shows.
Normally we do two shows, but this is going to be one ticket for both shows.
It's a mega show.
The tickets
it's a mega
are $48.
It's a mega show.
Yeah. But Canadian money makes sense.
Canadian money sucks, and it's also two shows.
$4 are like 2 cents.
It's a good deal. So stop complaining on my fucking Instagram comments.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you to Tim.
Thank you.
Go see him in Boston this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.